Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer, and Lord, I do pray that you would just be with me here tonight, that you would speak through me and use me through this next half hour or so, and just pray that, again, you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, and that you would help us to leave here making decisions, lives changed for the better, for you, Lord, to leave here, again, challenged by your word, again, to make a difference, to change, again, whatever it may be, that you would speak to our hearts to do. I pray that you'd help us to respond accordingly, and I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I've entitled our message, "Remember Now Thy Creator." We see that there in verse number 1 of chapter 12. But again, I want to, we're going to be looking at the last two verses of chapter 11, as well as Solomon begins writing to the youth there here at this juncture of Ecclesiastes. And so, as I said, you know, Solomon is the one who's writing the book here of Ecclesiastes. And when you think about Solomon, you understand that Solomon, by the world's standards, was probably the most successful man to ever live. I mean, you think about it, he had achieved it all. He had done it all. He had seen it all. I mean, again, you name it, he did it, he's seen it, he accomplished it. And so when you think about that, again, Solomon had achieved really what so many today are running after. The power, the popularity, the prestige and pleasure. Again, he had it all. And so many are running after that today. And you may recall, again, Solomon was gifted of God with wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3. As again, God comes to Solomon there, and he pretty much asked him, you know, "What would you have me to give you?" And Solomon had just been made king at this point, and he understood the great responsibility that laid before him and of ruling the nation of Israel. And again, having enough wisdom to know that he didn't have enough wisdom to lead, you know, a nation, he asked God for an understanding heart, that again, that he may judge so great a people. And in verse 12 of 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord answers Solomon. He says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor." And so Solomon, again, he truly had been gifted by God. I mean, they were coming from all over to see the magnificence of Solomon. Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I want you to look in chapter 2 real quick with me. Because in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's going to list some of his accomplishments, some of the things he accumulated through in his lifetime. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 4, as Solomon begins writing about some of these things that he had and had done. He says in verse 4, he said, "I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and it increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained within me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor." And so we see here kind of this list of some of the things that he had done and he had accomplished that he had. And so again, I say he had everything. He had accomplished everything that so many are running after today. But if you look at verse 11 of the same chapter, he says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." What Solomon was saying here is, again, although he had achieved it all, although he had seen it all, although he had done it all, at the end of his life, again, at the end, the popularity, the power, the prestige, the pleasure, it was all vanity. It was empty. It was worthless. It did not satisfy. And when you look down at verse 17 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he says this. He says, therefore, I hated life. I hated the life. And I ask you, you know, how can that be? Again, here's a man who, again, by the world standards, had everything. He had seen it all. He had done it all, experienced it all, the pleasure, whatever, you name it, he had it. And he says, I hated life. How can he be so miserable? How can he hate life? Again, I stopped and I thought about that. I think, really, isn't that what we see around us today? Again, those that we would esteem to be great in our eyes, the fame, the fortune, you name it, whatever it is, Hollywood. And we think, man, they've got it made. And so many times behind the disguise, they're miserable. Filing for divorces, going through custody battles, they're overdosing on drugs and taking their own lives. And yet we oftentimes look at them and we think, man, they've got it. If only I had that. And Solomon, again, he had it all. And he says it was vanity, vexation of spirit. Again, how can that be? Well, Solomon, I believe, gives us the answer as he writes this book of Ecclesiastes. You see, the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is life under the sun. Some 25 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes about life under the sun. And in chapter 1, he begins it, and this is the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? So under the sun, he viewed life again under the sun. What does that mean? Well, it means he took his eyes off of God. He began to view life again apart from God. He tried to observe living again without God. Now we understand again, none of us can live without God. Again, it's within him that we live, we breathe, we have our being. Again, if you woke up this morning, again, it's because God woke you up. You got oxygen in your lungs. God put it there. Again, it's of his mercies that we're not consumed. Again, we are alive today because of God. But I'm not talking about, life and breath here when I talk about living apart from God, but I'm talking about living without acknowledging God. Again, Solomon says, again, it's not that God isn't there. It's just that I lived life like he wasn't. And so he spends a whole book, the book of Ecclesiastes, really a good part of it, he talks pretty crazy. And then he takes the rest of the part of the book trying to help us from being crazy like him. And so when we come to the end of chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes here in our text this morning, or this evening, and then get into chapter 12, Solomon concludes his remarks of life under the sun, and he addresses the young people. Again, for he would have them, again, above all, I believe, to profit from his mistakes. And so tonight, again, our message, in much a way, it will be directed towards the youth. But I believe we can apply the truths that we're going to learn here tonight to all of our lives, no matter where we are in our stages of life. So let's look at what Solomon says here as he addresses the youth, beginning in verse 9 of chapter 11. He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. What Solomon is saying is, says, hey, let me give you an admonishing precaution. Let me give you an admonishing precaution. Rejoice, O young man. I guess if you were to translate that into our terminology, it may be saying this. Just go ahead with your bad self. You know, live it up. Have fun. Enjoy life. Again, party. Have fun. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what Solomon's saying. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in thy ways in thine heart, in the sight of thy eyes. Again, while you're young, he says. He says, while you got all the energy, he says, you know, stay up all night, stay up late, run the streets, and just have all fun that you can get right now. Do it all. Again, you only live once, Solomon's saying, kind of in a way. So enjoy life. He says, again, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And so he's talking about these enjoyable days. Have fun. Again, have you ever met somebody who lived for fun? Maybe this describes your life. That was kind of, you know, you gauged what you did based off of how fun it was. Now, by the way, let me say this. The greatest age in all of mankind for young people that are interested in having fun, having a good time, is this day and age that we live in now. Again, there are more toys in the world today than there has ever been before. By the end of the year, there'll be more. Again, you think about some of us in here, we can remember, you know, if we were going to have fun, we had to find fun. You know, if we were going to play a video game, you knew what video game you were going to play, right? Super Mario Brothers. How many of you remember the Atari? You got one joystick, one red button. It was simple. I mean, if you were going to play a board game, you pretty much knew what you were going to play. There wasn't that much out there. Today, though, man, they got all kinds of games. They got all kinds of controls. And the thing is, even if you don't have anybody to play with at your house, man, you can go hook up to the internet and play with somebody across the country, and again, another country, somebody you don't know, they speak another language, and you can play them in some type of video game. Again, there's video game tournaments. People go around the world now, and they have these video game tournaments, and they win cruises and trips and cars and all kinds of things. Again, what am I saying? Man, we live in a day and age where you can have fun. And Solomon's saying, hey, go ahead. Enjoy it. I hope you understand this is a little bit of sarcasm here, though. Hey, if you want to have fun, hey, he says, you know, they got the casinos out there. Hey, you want to have fun? There's every kind of music that you can think of. You want to have fun? They got smartphones now. You want to have fun? There's iTunes. You want to have fun? There's movie theaters. You want to have fun? There's dating parlors. You want to have fun? There's virtual reality. There's Skyping, social media. There's all these different things for you to have fun today. Again, you can be an introvert. You can never leave your house, and you have more fun today than ever before. And Solomon's saying, hey, young people, have enjoyable days. He also says, and have embraced desires. Hey, if you want to do it, do it. If it cheers your heart, do it. You want to go, then go. Again, walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. Again, just watch what you want to watch, he says kind of here. And think about this. That's why pornography, again, is so accessible. And that's why the nonsense is so prevalent in our world. Because our world knows that living within our world are a bunch of young people who are going to get everything that they want. They're going to chase everything that they like. They're going to go everywhere that they desire to. And so the world says, hey, if you're going to go after it, we're going to make it a little bit easier for you to get it. And so Solomon, again, go ahead, sow your wild oats. Listen to the world. Listen to the commercials. Listen to Hollywood. Listen to the rappers. Enjoy your days. Embrace your desires. Live it up, he says. But, then he says, but, there in verse 9, the middle of the passage, but know thou. Listen, you see that little three little word. It's so little, but you had better listen up. Again, he's talking to every young person here tonight and every young person in the world tonight. Solomon says, but he says at the end of that young life, there is coming a ending. There will be an ending dilemma. There's an ending dilemma. In other words, there's coming a judgment, he says. By the way, one of the strongest things that we as parents, as adults, can teach our children is that we will all stand before God. Lost people will stand at the great white throne judgment. Saved people will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but nobody will enter into their eternity without standing before God. And so as fun as things may be, again, when you think about that, they don't seem so fun. They don't sound so fun anymore. When you think about the fact that, man, I've got to stand before God. So again, Solomon, hey, go out, have fun. Drink, smoke, party, do whatever you want to do, but you're going to have to look at God in the face one day. What are you going to say? It's an admonishing precaution. Again, look at the verse here. It says, but know thou that for all these things. How many things? All these things. And then he says, God will bring who? Thee. Say this with me. God will bring me into judgment. God will bring me into judgment. Listen, God will bring thee into judgment, he says. Now I want to ask you a question then. How many fun things have you done? That won't be as nearly as fun explaining them to God? See, we need to be judgment reminded. What's the big deal? We're listening to the voice of the man of Solomon, who knew about having fun better than any of us, probably more than any of us combined together. And he says to the young people, he says, hey, those of you who think that dating somebody or having as many people of the opposite sex in your life, Solomon says, hey, listen to me, I had it. To the drunkards who think, again, that alcohol is going to bring the enjoyment, he says, hey, I had to find wine. That laughter will bring joy. Hey, I hired comedians. The fame, the fortune, he says, yeah, I had that. Again, barn servants. Again, you name it, Solomon says, I had it. But you know what he says? It was overrated. It was overrated. Listen, you don't judge the joy by those on stage. Listen, they're paid to look that way. Again, think about it. Solomon, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Do everything that you want to do. Go everywhere you want to go. Wherever your heart wants, have at it. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Again, there's coming a day that you'll have to give an account. So if you live for now, he says, you're going to have to answer for it later. Solomon says again, let me tell you something. It's coming from somebody who lived for fun, who enjoyed it while I had it. Solomon says, what was fun then is not fun now, because he understood the judgment. Again, as adults, we must do again a better job at teaching our children how to think before they act. Think later before they act now. Again, the world won't do it. Again, think about the world. They hand them out all kinds of things that will give them no consideration of later. A young person graduates high school, getting ready to go to college. Before they even get there, they get credit cards in the mail. You send your students to public school. They'll teach them how to protect themselves from diseases, but they don't teach them how to stay pure from immorality. Why? Because they don't concern themselves with the consequences. Again, you might get by your parents. You may not get caught by the cops, but listen, there's a reckoning day, and we will face God. Again, and you're thinking about it. Will not stop you from facing him. But your thinking about it may help you from stuttering when you do. So Solomon says, go ahead. Again, you're going to stand before God, an admonishing precaution. But then he says, I want to give you an advised practice. An advised practice. I see number one here in verse number 10 that we need a corruption removal. Therefore, he says, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Again, he says this, since you know you're going to have to face God one day, he says, get the mess out of your life. Again, whatever you're doing that's fun now ain't going to be worth it later. And so again, since you know you're going to have to face God in the future, then get rid of the sorrow, get rid of the evil now. Again, now, get rid of it now. And then I think about it, again, this is why I said, again, while this is directed at youth, this is a message that all of us need to hear. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, that everyone may receive that which is done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Again, as Pastor spoke about this morning, again, you don't get into heaven by doing good works. Again, you get into heaven by trusting the good work of Jesus Christ. And so again, we're not going to go to heaven based on our good works, but guess what? Well, we will be rewarded based off of them, off of your works. And think about that. As I stand before God, you know what the worst thing will be? The worst thing for us as Christians will be when we stand before God to be standing before him empty-handed. The Bible speaks about the crowns that are awarded for different things. And if I don't have this corruption removal, if I don't get things right in my life, when I come to that point, man, the worst thing in life is, again, when I face my Savior. For the first time, I'm face-to-face with my Savior and I'm empty-handed. Nothing to lay at his feet. A corruption removal, he says. But notice there's also, we need a clear realization. Again, for childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth are vanity. Here's what he's saying. He says, being young and being foolish go hand in hand. Proverbs 22:15, you know this verse probably. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. See, it doesn't matter what child he is. He's got foolishness in him. And you think about it, we expect children to do foolish things, really. But that's why they need parents, right? Parents who will enforce righteousness versus settling for just being a friend. The youth or kids, they can meet friends when they go to school, things like that. But when they come home, they need to meet parents who will enforce righteousness. By the way, again, have you ever thought about this? If youth and childhood and vanity, if they go hand in hand, they go together, that means some of the most foolish decisions that we'll ever make, we'll make when we're young. They go hand in hand. So that's probably why then, young people, God told you to obey your parents. Just thought. You see, God knew that we're too ignorant to do right on our own. And we needed our parents. Oh, but I'm just so sick. I'm tired of them. They're always on my case. They're checking my phone. They're telling me what to do. And they're all up in my business. I can't go nowhere. There's no one good enough to date. And again, I'm sick and tired of it. Well, listen, you can complain all you want to, but that mean parent, that all up in your business parent, that checking your phone parent is saving you from yourself. Again, there ought to be some young people who go home tonight and, you know, give mommy and daddy a big hug tonight and say, thank you for being in my business. Thank you for saving me from me. That's what Solomon's saying here, a clear realization. And so Solomon, again, he ends chapter 11 here telling us again that if you live for fun, you're going to have to give an account later. And so, again, our antennas should be up here. And so while our antennas are up, he turns the page of chapter 11, he enters into chapter 12, and then he gives us an appropriate prescription. He says, remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. What does this word remember here mean? He's not talking about just a passing thought about him. The word remember means to consider God on an intentional way for the purpose of obeying him. To consider God on an intentional basis for the purpose of obeying him. Again, Solomon is saying, be aware of him. Consecrate to God. Recall God. Recognize God. Acknowledge God. Because remember, Solomon tried to live life without that. Without God, without acknowledging. And he says it was vanity. So as he gives us the appropriate prescription, he says, remember now thy Creator. Again, let us not teach our kids, how to do all the things in life that's going to make them money, make them famous in life, make them popular in life, without teaching them that the best thing in life is to remember now thy Creator. Why? Well, think about it. He made you. Why should we remember our Creator? He made you. And think about this. Why didn't God say, remember God? Or why didn't Solomon say, remember God? Remember thy Lord? Why was it, remember now thy Creator? Well, I believe it's because if he understood that if we get enamored with what's on the earth, then that means we're not enamored enough with who created the earth. Again, we live in a society today to where this egotistical, this humanistic, this very self-centered, over-exaggerated opinion of oneself is promoted. But you hear statements like, you live only once, so live it up. Climb the ladder as fast as you can. And all these different things. And so you got a worldly system that is they're living life without God, and they're trying to find enjoyment and happiness in this life, but they never do. Listen, you don't have to be the CEO of some company to feel good about yourself. You don't have to have all the fame and fortune to feel good about yourself. If you're a Christian, listen, you can feel good about yourself. You know you're special. You know you're loved by the simple remembrance that God, the God who created everything, calls you your son. Or your daughter, his daughter. But again, our kids today, again, they have a hard time remembering their Creator. Why? Because they are, again, so enamored with creation. Again, it's no different from Romans chapter 1. If you know, there it talks about how they were bowing down before the sun, worshiping cows, and the creature. Listen, if anything that is created is impressive, it only makes the Creator that much more impressive. Listen, man, the complex, the anatomy of man, it's amazing. Again, all the creations that we see around us, you meet a smart guy, man. When you do that, man, you ought to be amazed at a wise God. Because, again, the only way a smart guy, again, can live on this fancy world with all these fancy contraptions and creations and inventions and all these kinds of industries, the only way America can be so advanced is that it was put here by an advanced God. So remember now, consider God. Again, concentrate on God. So what's he saying? He says we need to have a committed will. A committed will here. It's intentional remembrance. Remember now thy Creator. It's intentional. Think about this. You have to stimulate your memory. We have to stimulate our memory. Listen, when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. You still have a flesh within you. And so I'm going to have to stimulate my memory to do that which is right. Again, what I'm saying again, if you don't program your mind to do right, it will automatically do wrong. If you don't fill it with good stuff, it will wander into bad stuff. Again, it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up in. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the hood or in a pastor's home where mom is the best Christian in the world, whatever the case may be. Listen, you could have Bible verses on your wall. You could grown up listen to Pastor Pirate. But if you don't program your mind to wake up every day, there are magazines in the stores, there's sites on the computers, there's rap songs coming out by the hundreds, and there's the nonsense on the playground, there's cuss words in the school, and all this stuff. And listen, if you don't read your Bible on purpose, if you don't pray on purpose, memorize the Bible on purpose, if you don't tithe on purpose, get close to your mom and dad on purpose, if you don't cut off some bad influences on purpose, and if you, again, you can be sitting in church, you can look the part, you can look perfect, knee-length skirt, blouse up to your neck. Man, you look perfect. Everybody thinks you're great. And then all of a sudden you graduate and you're no longer in church. And we think, man, what happened? Well, they were practicing foolishness in their mind ever before they acted it out. Again, we've got to remember God on purpose. It's intentional. Again, why do we remember 9/11? Because we made it a holiday. Why do we remember some of the presidents we do? Because we've made holidays. Why'd you get up today? Especially today, time change. You set an alarm, right? Listen, what I'm telling you is that we need to set some spiritual alarms in our mind. We need to tell our mind, again, that we're not going to trust our own mind. We're not going to trust our own heart to think on Jesus, but we're going to set some alarms to think on Jesus. Again, I can't afford to miss church. I need my mind checked. So I'm setting an alarm. I can't afford to miss my Bible reading. I need my heart checked. I'm going to set a spiritual alarm. I don't know about you, but again, when left up to myself, if I don't set some spiritual alarms in my life, my mind's gonna end up in the gutter. I'm gonna mess up. I'm gonna fail. We need some spiritual alarms in our, and we need to set some spiritual alarms in our life. This is, again, intentional remembrance. Remember now. Again, as parents, again, we've got to be working with our kids to help them to remember God. Listen, one of the best ways to start the remembering process is by starting that muting process. Again, you think sometimes it's hard to hear somebody because of all the noise. And so sometimes, again, we're going to have to mute some things in our life if we're going to hear, if we're going to remember our Creator. So it's an intentional remembrance, but it's also an immediate remembrance. Again, remember now thy Creator. Remember now. Again, here's what he's saying. If you ever plan to consider God on purpose, go ahead and do it now. Young person, adult alike. If you're ever going to think upon God and consider God, do it now. Again, young people, he's saying this. Use your mind to think upon God when your mind is in its best shape. Again, there could come a day that you want to think about God, but your mind can't think straight about God because some disease has crept into your mind that controls your thoughts over your own will. And so he's saying, hey, remember God now. So it's immediate remembrance. I see here the captured window. Excuse me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, this captured window, in the prime of thy youth, he says. Again, while it's good, remember God. He says, in the pleasant years, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Again, serve God now, young person, in the prime of your youth, in the pleasant years. Oh, Brother Frank, it's not that good. Man, I've got strict parents. I've got basketball practice and volleyball practice, and I've got homework, and I've got this and that. My teachers hate me, and it's not all good, man. Listen to me. You know how many of us adults would love to go back to when it was that bad? My daughter's in here, you know. She's required to take naps. How many of you adults would love to have somebody require you to take a nap again? Listen, while it's good, he says, the pleasant years. Again, this day isn't going to be forever. I'm trying to close here, but again, it's not going to last forever. This thing of youth, this thing of the prime of my life. I got my best foot forward right now, and it's going to come to an end. In verses, there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 2 through 7, Solomon begins talking about some coming woes. He tells you, you know, there's going to come a day when that prime will pass, and there's going to be some coming woes. And for sake of time, I'll just kind of highlight some of these. He look at this, and some of us may be able to relate, some of you may be able to relate with some of these. Verse 3, I'll just jump in there. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. What's he talking about? He's using some word pictures to describe the process of life as you begin to grow older. The keepers of the house shall tremble. That's your hands and your legs beginning to shake. The the strong men shall bow themselves. That's, again, the strong parts of your body, again, your shoulders, your legs, things like that, they begin to weaken, and now you walk bent over, he speaks about. The grinders shall cease. I like this one. Or they shall be few. Speaks about your teeth. Again, as you begin to grow older, you begin to lose your teeth. Solomon's saying, hey, listen, serve God now while you got all this health. Serve God now while it's all good. Again, highlighting just a few of these. Well, those that look out the windows be dark, and speaking about your eyesight, how it begins to become weaker and weaker. The doors shall be shut in the streets. The sound of the grinding low. Again, don't like to go out much anymore. You're kind of confined to indoors. Why? Because of the environments of nature, and things really take a toll on your body, and your ears, your hearing begins to fail. When they shall be afraid, verse 5, of that which is high, man, there's the fear of heights, things of that nature. The almond trees shall flourish, verse 5. Again, as you grow old, you begin, you know, that hair, it begins to change colors, you know, like an almond tree. It kind of begin growing, you're getting a lot of white or gray hairs, he's speaking of here. The grasshopper shall be a burden, man, that energy I used to have, I just don't have it no more. It's a burden, he says. He says, desire shall fail. That's physical desires. That's different kinds of desires. How no longer those desires are there. Again, some coming woes in your life, he says. And he says there, because, verse 5, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There's coming a day, again, when life here on earth will be no more. And God says, or Solomon is saying here, remember God now. So he gives us this warning. Hey, there's coming a day you're going to stand before God. There's a judgment. Again, a lot of sarcasm there. Live it up, have fun, enjoy life, and embrace those desires. But remember, there's coming a judgment. We will all stand before God. So he says, let me give you that advice, practice. Hey, let's have that corruption removal. Remove evil, remove sorrow from thy heart, and have that clear realization that, again, childhood and youth are vanity, the foolishness of youth. I'm going to make some of the foolish decisions here in the time of youth. And that's why I need my parents. That's why I need my authority in my life to help lead and guide me in the right way. And he says, let me give you the appropriate prescription. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So young or old, here today, may we remember our Creator. So we're living in a world that functions under the sun, rarely acknowledging God, rarely thinking about God, rarely doing as God has prescribed, and it's no wonder we've got the craziness on every hand. No wonder we've got sin running rampant. No wonder we've got people trying to find satisfaction, again, under the sun. But listen to me, the world was created. But you don't find satisfaction in creation. You find satisfaction in the Creator. Power, popularity, prestige, pleasure, all in abundant measure. And all combined cannot, will not quench the burning thirst in a man's soul for which that which only God can satisfy. Remember now thy Creator. Father, I come to you in prayer, Lord, and I pray that you would take this message tonight and that you would help us to purposely, again, remember you, consider you. Help us to be judgment-minded, knowing that one day we will give an account before you. We will stand face to face with our Savior. May we not go empty-handed. Father, please work in our hearts and help us today to remember you. I ask this in Christ, in Jesus' name.